Everybody, it's Dr. Sam Robbins. Today's question is about urinary flow. Are you having problems maybe urinating frequently or too much at night? Are you, you know, not able to have that strong, steady stream like you used to when you were younger? Is it coming out maybe drip by drip? Basically, anything with urination problems, I'm going to cover in today's video. Also, what could the causes be, such as prostate cancer? How does it affect your erections? And of course, what are the best solutions, naturally, including as well as drugs? So I'll get to that in 2 seconds. Now, before I begin, this video is going to be a little bit longer than my usual ones, but in more detail because this is a super important topic, basically a life or death type of topic. And this is because having urinary flow or prostate or erection problems is a big warning sign that something is really wrong. For one, these are early warning signs of heart problems, hence a heart attack or stroke. Second, these issues can also mean cancer, more specifically prostate cancer, which can lead to other cancers if untreated. So our goal is to find out problems as early as possible so we can help avoid long-term bigger problems that then we can't control. It's too late. For example, I have a very close physician friend of mine who is the head of oncology, and he missed his dad's prostate cancer 2 years earlier. Now his dad, who's got the prostate cancer, has about 3 to 4 years to live because the cancer has spread. And just today, I got an email from one of my subscribers. It was pretty sad, saying that he has stage 4 prostate cancer. And this all happened within a past couple of months, again, because their doctor missed it. Now the cancer has spread to his bones. Unfortunately, his doctor is using a very outdated method to deal with the prostate cancer, which is to medically castrate him and basically kill off all his hormones and thus his manhood. So yes, this is a very important topic because I don't want this happening to you or someone you know. All right. So please listen carefully. Subscribe right now if you haven't. And please share this with other people so you can help them as well. Because at the end of the day, you and I need to be our own advocate for health, our own doctors, basically, for better health. Please don't let your health be in the hands of other people. You know, do your research and learn from others, not just me. I know it can be confusing at times. And thus, my goal here is to simplify this as much as possible without dumping, you know, things down, you know, or dumbing things down for you, because I know my subscribers are pretty smart. So of course, now I need to give a legal disclaimer because of the world we live in. So here it goes. Don't do anything I say. This is for entertainment purposes only. Always speak to your doctor before you do anything in this world. All right, so let's get started. Now I'm going to keep things super simple and focus on the 3 biggest causes of urinary and prostate problems. And of course, the best solutions for all 3. The last one that I'm going to mention is the primary cause, so make sure you watch to the very end. So the first cause is urinary tract infections, or UTIs. Now, this is more common in women. Infections in the urinary tract can lead to painful and difficult urination. Your doctor would tell you if you have this or not. It's a simple urine test. Now, what are the causes? There are a few medical conditions as well as lifestyle factors. The medical conditions, the biggest one is uncircumcised penis. Studies have suggested a slightly higher risk of UTIs in uncircumcised men due to the potential bacteria accumulation beneath the foreskin. And also, this probably is not going to be for you, but catheter use. Men requiring urinary catheters are more susceptible to UTIs due to the direct access of the bacteria. This is something my dad had to deal with, so I'm very familiar with it. Now let's talk about lifestyle factors that can cause UTIs. Sexual activity is a big one. Friction during sexual activity can introduce bacteria into the urethra, increasing UTI risk. Poor hygiene. Again, inadequate genital hygiene, especially after sexual activity, can allow bacteria to thrive. Make sure you pee after an orgasm and clean the area to help push out all that bacteria if maybe you had gotten into the urethra during sex. Dehydration. Insufficient water take can concentrate urine, creating a less hospitable environment for the bacteria, but also potentially trigger bladder irritation and basically can mimic a UTI symptoms. And most of us are dehydrated. And also certain medications, this is the last one, some medications like antibiotics for other infections, right, can indirectly cause UTIs because they alter the natural bacteria balance in the body caused by the antibiotics. So the solution, again, is actually a simple course of antibiotics, This is, of course, in addition to you trying to abstain from some of the previously mentioned causes. So again, being, you know, mindful of hygiene and so forth. Now, the next problem are bladder stones. Now, stones in the bladder can cause the passage of urine. What are the causes? Genetics aside, this is typically caused by diet. Diet is a big problem. High intake of certain minerals, excessive consumption of calcium, oxalates found in like spinach and rhubarb and nuts, and purine found in red meat and organ meats can cause the risk of stones formation. Fluid deficiency, once again, dehydration. Drinking enough water dilutes the urine and prevents mineral buildup, so dehydration can contribute to the stone formation. Again, most people are unfortunately dehydrated. Also, diet low in fiber, that's another problem. Fiber helps bind minerals in the digestive tract, reducing their absorption and ultimately lessening the risk of stones. Like dehydration, most people lack fiber in the diet. So what are the solutions? Now, these days, the solution is fairly simple, and at least compared to the old days, a small telescope will be passed through the urethra into the bladder. A laser or some other device will basically use to break up the stones and pieces will be removed. Now, if the stones are too big, you might need to do so, removing them surgically. Drugs are rarely used to dissolve stones. Of course, as stated before, we need to focus on abstaining the previously mentioned causes. So that's really important. That means basically being better hydrated and having high fiber and so forth. All right. And finally, and probably the primary cause, which I believe is prostate issues, especially as men get older. Unfortunately, these prostate problems are now affecting even younger guys. Now, an enlarged prostate, BPH, standing for benign prostatic hyperplasia, can obstruct the urethra, causing urinary difficulties. Basically, the prostate grows, it's hard to get the urine out. Now, how do you know if you have this? How do you know if you have BPH? There are two primary ways. The first is your doctor will do a rectal exam. Basically, he'll stick his finger in your anus and checks if the prostate is enlarged or hard and so forth. Now, most men should do, you know, a rectal exam starting at the age of 40. You know, basically the truth is the sooner we test, the sooner we can catch any potential problems. Now, the second method is doing a blood test and checking your PSA levels, which stands for prostate-specific antigen. And PSA is basically a protein produced by the prostate gland. Elevated levels of PSA may indicate an enlarged prostate or possibly the presence of prostate cancer. So checking PSA and all your blood tests is very important. Now, one thing to keep in mind is that the prostate will grow in all men if they live long enough. It's just due to just hormones over the years and genetics. However, just because there is enlargement, especially during a rectal exam, it doesn't necessarily mean cancer, so don't worry. But it will mean that all of us guys will have urine flow issues at some point, to some extent, if we live long enough, especially if we don't do all the solutions that I mentioned today. So that's the goal. Potentially, you know, preventing any of these issues as long as possible. Okay, so now let's talk about the causes. Now, there's a variety of causes of elevated PSA levels. Genetics aside, and aging, as I just mentioned, it's caused by hormonal problems or hormonal imbalances. Now, before I speak about the hormonal problems, certain drugs can also cause temporary increase in PSA and enlargement of the prostate. So, you know, don't necessarily freak out. Now, these are daily drugs that most people take over the counter. The five most common popular ones are, well, steroids. Obviously, both taking anabolic steroids like testosterone and so forth, or catabolic such as cortisol or cortisone medications. They typically are, you know, athletes take the drugs, bodybuilders and so forth. But even guys on TRT and HRT are taking, you know, testosterone, and that can exacerbate these hormonal problems. And I'll get to that in more detail in a minute. Now, antihistamines, some of the over-the-counter antihistamines like Benadryl can cause urinary retention and difficulty urinating due to their anticholinergic effects. Now, these drugs are also found in over-the-counter sleeping drugs such as Tylenol PM. So just make sure you read the ingredients. Decongestions. Certain nasal decongestants such as pseudoephedrine can lead to urinary retention and decrease in urine flow. Keep in mind, pseudoephedrine, right? It's basically an amphetamine. It's a light one. So any amphetamine falls into this class. So any of you guys taking ADHD drugs, be careful. You're going to have to deal with this as well. Antidepressants, tricyclic antidepressants and selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors such as Prozac, Wellbutrin, and so forth can cause urinary hesitancy and retention in some individuals. And finally, opioid pain medications such as morphine, codeine, oxycodone can cause constipation, which may indirectly lead to urinary retention issues. Now, I hope you found this all helpful. You know, if you have, please again, subscribe and like this video, because now we're going to get started with the really important stuff, the best solutions. And before I start with the solutions, keep in mind, I mentioned all the causes so we can not do the causes so the solutions can be even more effective. Now, there's two solutions here. There are improving the flow and there are improving your hormones. I suggest doing both at the same time. Now, let's talk about drugs that improve flow. Improving the flow will happen once you improve hormones also. However, we want to, if you want to do it with drugs, we have a couple of options, three options, in fact. Now, you can take Flomax. This is an alpha-1 blocker. It blocks the specific type of receptor found in the prostate. By blocking these receptors, the medication works by relaxing the muscles in the prostate and the bladder, which relieves the symptoms of prostate growth by making it easier to urinate. Now, the side effects are low blood pressure, weakness, erectile problems, and decreased semen production. So that's Flomax. Now we have Hytrin. This is a drug that my dad took. This is more of an indirect method because it treats high blood pressure, and it works by relaxing the blood vessels, which decreases the amount of work your heart has to do. And it may also be used to treat symptoms of enlarged prostate problems. Now, side effects of Hytrin are basically dizziness, lightheadedness, and fainting. For example, if you get up too quickly from lying down position, this is primarily caused by having low blood pressure. And then finally, there is Cialis. Now, you've probably heard about erection drugs, erectile drugs, you know, such as Cialis and Viagra. Both of them work better for erections because they improve blood flow. Both also lower blood pressure again. All right. Blood pressure seems to be a common theme here. And like I said, in the previous drugs, in fact, hypertension, high blood pressure is what Viagra was originally made for. Now, the side benefit or side effect, the side benefit was better erections, and they found it. Actually, the Viagra, the sildenafil, is used for both blood pressure and erection. So both drugs, two different names. Well, Cialis is similar to long-acting form of like Viagra. Basically, it's long-acting and also helps with the enlarged prostate. So that's another drug you can take that doesn't have any erectile problems. Now, the bottom line is we want to improve blood flow and the flow and also blood pressure. These are two important factors. And of course, these both become issues as we get older. So, you know me, I like to do drugs secondary. I like to start everything naturally. And if you want to do so naturally, there's lots of herbs and amino acids that help with blood flow and blood pressure. Many don't work, unfortunately. You know, a few do work. The problem, you know, this is a problem with supplements. Most of them just don't work, or they're rip-off. They're using the wrong ingredients, wrong extracts, wrong dosages. But rather than me list all these herbs, because this video is getting pretty long, and all the amino acids, because it can overwhelm you and add additional costs, I've simplified it down to two supplements that contain all the best, you know, ingredients, the herbs, the amino acids. These two are basically what I call all-in-one supplements. It's what I personally use, as well as my friends, family, and clients. They are called Blood Flow Optimizer and Blood Pressure Optimizer. Basically, the name says it all. All right. I put the links to Blood Flow and Blood Pressure Optimizer below in the description area. Of course, these supplements help support healthy prostate function, but they have so many other whole body benefits. It's just something we should all take, especially after the age of 30 or 35, definitely after the age of 40. Okay. Now that we have improved the flow, right, we need to finally focus on what I believe is the primary cause of prostate problems, and that's hormonal causes. And I'll talk about hormonal solutions to all this. Earlier, I stated how one of my subscribers said his doctor is going to treat his prostate problems by basically medically castrating him, giving him drugs that shuts down and kills all his hormones, his testosterone levels. Yes, this works only because of indirect outcome of having no testosterone, okay? Not the direct, but the indirect. Now, you see, scientists and researchers have known for years that testosterone does not directly cause prostate problems, prostate growth, or prostate cancer. Or else, young men, right, they have the highest testosterone, would all have prostate problems, and they don't. Instead, older men who have the lowest testosterone have the highest prostate problems. Why? Because the real cause is that what testosterone converts to, which are two primary hormones, estrogen and DHT. Now, DHT, dihydrotestosterone, is linked to hair loss and body hair growth and, yes, prostate problems. Estrogen, specifically estradiol, is also linked to these issues, in addition to other cancers, such as both prostate and breast cancer. And yes, men do get breast cancer. For example, if you have gynecomastia or man boobs, this is a potential indicator of future problems. This means that your body is more readily converting to estrogen because you have higher levels of aromatized enzyme, which converts testosterone to estrogen. Also, higher body fat will do this as well. Thus, you know, the higher your body fat, the more estrogen conversion. Again, this is why you want to get leaner. Of course, genetics plays a big role in these enzyme conversions. Okay, so if you happen to be, you know, hairier than the average guy, you're balding or receding, you tend to be overweight, maybe you have man boobs and that's, you know, bigger chest, you know, fat area, then you really need to focus on improving your hormones. You really need to focus on the rest of this video. Also, higher blood sugar and insulin levels are indirectly linked to all these problems and so many other health problems. High insulin, high blood sugar is not good. So our goal is to keep testosterone to high normal levels naturally while we reduce excess conversions to both estrogen and DHT. One last thing, as estrogen levels increase, your body's estrogen inhibiting hormone also increases. As estrogen decreases, another hormone. Now, what's this other hormone? Yep. It's DHT, dihydrotestosterone, is a natural estrogen inhibitor. So again, as estrogen goes up due to your body fat, due to, you know, enzymes and so forth, so does your DHT levels, your body's natural mechanism of coping with high estrogen. Now, I'm sure you've heard the saying, you know, that guy's short, fat, bald, and hairy, right? Well, the short and fat has to do with high excess levels of estrogen, and the bald and hairy typically has to do with high DHT levels, all right? Short, fat, bald, and hairy. There are reasons for all these. There's hormonal reasons, of course, genetically stemming as well. Now, I simplified all this, all right? But this isn't medical school, so this is good enough for us, for most of us, keeping it simple and getting right to the point. So how do we lower these quote-unquote negative hormones to more acceptable, lower yet normal levels and normal ranges? Well, remember, we want everything to be natural and in the normal range. The goal is high testosterone in the normal range, but lower estrogen and DHT in the normal range. Basically, all within normal ranges, but on opposite ends. High testosterone, low DHT and estrogen. By the way, when estrogen and DHT increase, testosterone decreases. This is bad. We don't want this. This is what happens in older guys, right? It happens these days, unfortunately, younger guys too. Thus, our goal is to lower estrogen DHT, which will automatically increase your good, powerful testosterone hormone, all right? It's a win-win situation. So let's talk about lowering estrogen DHT. Let's talk about drugs as well as natural methods. You can do so by using powerful enzyme inhibitors. Inhibiting the aromatase enzyme will lower estrogen, more specifically the potent estradiol levels. And drugs that would do this would typically be Arimidex, Femara, and Aromacin. If I had to pick one, I would suggest Aromacin. It would be best because it's not as bad on your lipid levels. Now, the side effects of these drugs and lowering estrogen too low is joint pain, fatigue, cholesterol problems, and yes, erectile problems and impotence. Not good. Now, 5-alpha reductase inhibitors will lower DHT levels. Drugs that will do this is finasteride, which you've probably heard of, you know, 5 milligrams Proscar, also 1 milligram Propecia. Proscar and Propecia are the same drugs, just different dosages of finasteride. Or a much more potent drug called dudasteride by the trade name of Avodart. Now, the side effects of these 5-alpha reductase inhibiting drugs is loss of just drive, your just general drive in life, all right? Not just sex drive, just mood. You have anxiety, you have depression, and yes, erectile problems and impotence. Again, big problems. And if you take a 5-alpha reductase drug, such as Propecia and Proscar by itself, you know, such as, for example, hair loss, guys will take Propecia or Proscar, your estrogen levels tend to go up, and then you get gynecomastia or man boobs, and you get more depressed. Thus, typically both estrogen and DHT inhibitors should be taken together or basically managed simultaneously. You need to test for all three hormones, testosterone, estrogen, and DHT, and make sure they're in the proper ratios. The major problem with these drugs is that they're super strong, all right? They're originally developed for cancer, and they inhibit these hormones and other adrenal hormones a lot, too much in most people. So it's hard to control their negative side effects unless you do lots of blood tests, you see where you are month to month, and thus you have a very competent physician, preferably an endocrinologist, dealing with all this. But good luck finding one, all right? Who is going to listen to you and do proper blood tests multiple times and is up to date with the real research, not what they're told by the pharmaceutical companies, right? So this is, it's a lost cause, unfortunately, these days. Instead, as I always say, it's better to start with natural methods of lowering estrogen and DHT to normal, natural levels, all right? That's what we want, normal range, but naturally on the lower side. This way, you get all the benefits, but without the negative side effects. Now, for lowering estrogen, doing it naturally, some of my favorite herbs are DIM, D-I-M, and also white button mushroom extract. For lowering DHT, I keep it simple. I suggest zinc with copper. Now, a lot of people suggest taking saw palmetto extract, but saw palmetto extract can cause erectile problems for many men, while zinc can actually improve erections. That's why I like zinc. Again, take it with copper. Now, again, as I mentioned this product before, there's an all-in-one supplement called Alpha Viral that contains all of these ingredients, plus natural testosterone boosters to help optimize and balance your hormones. I've been taking it for over 20 years, and you probably heard it mentioned me many times in the past because it really works, hence the 20-year track record. It contains all the proven ingredients, correct dosages. It's simple, easy, convenient. Yes, it ends up saving you money. I put the direct links to Alpha Viral below in the description here if you want more details, so make sure you check it out. Now, again, all the products I mentioned today come with a one-year guarantee. That's important. One last and very important thing before I end today's topic. None of this matters if you don't improve your lifestyle. This means eating better, all right? More natural foods. Don't eat so many processed foods or carbs or junky fats, all right? You know what's healthy. Please don't act dumb and say, oh, is this good or is this bad? You know what's healthy. Try to keep it as natural as possible. Exercise is super important. Yes, it does balance out hormones. You know, try to work out with weights at least maybe 3 times a week. And on the other days, do some kind of cardio. I mean, I suggest brisk walking is great. It can be done by anyone, anywhere, anytime, all right? I take 20-minute walks 3 to 4 times a day, all right? So it's not that much. I do it on my phone calls or whatever. You know how stress is bad, all right? You need to manage your stress levels because having high cortisol levels will make everything worse. There are supplements for lowering cortisol, such as Stress and Cortisol Relief, a product that I've been taking for many years. The link is below, but get rid of junk in your life that's causing you stress, all right? News is a big one. Finally, make sure you get good, deep, quality sleep every night, all right? This is so important, yet one that most people take for granted. Even, you know, I don't prioritize sleep as much as I should because I get busy with work and life and so forth. So sleep is super important because it also helps all your other hormones. That's why I think sleep is number one goal for us. Anyway, I've revealed a lot here today, all right? I've done it all because this is an important topic and I care about you. These are all things I do myself, my family, and so forth. I've done my best to keep things simple. You should probably rewatch this video at least once or twice. And at my blog, in a little while, I'll have the full transcript with notes and links and so forth if you'd rather read. Now, if you found this helpful, which I hope you have, again, please make sure you subscribe. And if you aren't already, you know, I know most people watch the videos, but then they don't subscribe. And later, they miss out on important information like this. And please, please, please share this video with others. You're helping other people. It costs you no money to share in only a few seconds. You're doing the world a better place. Hope this was helpful. As always, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. I wish you a very happy and healthy day.